We thank you for listening to the weekly sermon of First United Methodist Church, Missouri City, Texas. We're a church that's making disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. For more information about the church and its ministries, or how we can pray for you, visit us on the web at fumcmc.org. If you desire to make a quick contribution in support of our ministries, you can text to give. Simply text the amount you want to give to 281-369-4870 and follow the instructions. And now, as you listen, we hope that you find this podcast meaningful and transformational in your journey of faith.
So today we're going to end our series, our Lenten series, where we've been talking about the Jewish festivals, the Jewish feasts, and this is like the last one. And I saved the last one on purpose for Holy Week because I'm clever that way, because this is the most sacred holy day in the Jewish year. In fact, it is so sacred and so holy, rabbis don't even call it Yom Kippur. They simply call it the day. I think we should just start calling Easter the day and see how that goes over. I think it'd be blast, right? But anyhow, so it's Yom Kippur, the day. Now, I thought the best way to start this is to teach you Hebrew. So I want you to stand. Now, just understand, my Hebrew, are there any people who speak Hebrew in here? Good, then my Hebrew's perfect. First slide, just the slide up. Okay, that's what you're going to learn. That's Hebrew. Okay? No, seriously, it really is. Just remember, I know why you're confused. It doesn't go left to right, reads right to left. Now it makes sense, right? Ah, wow. Okay. So, okay, you can go to the next one. Let them see it in English. Okay, now, here, I'm going to teach this to you. This is important. Gemar. Say it again. Gemar. Now remember, whenever you see a CH in Hebrew, English CH, you get to clear your throat a little bit. You get to hawk up a lung a little bit. So it'll be Chatima, Chatima. Gemar Chatima Tova. Gemar Chatima Tova. Greet one another in Hebrew, and then we'll tell you what you said. Go ahead. Okay, go ahead, have a seat. So what you just said, this is great. You guys fell for it. Opening day is Thursday, and you said, let's go Mets. Okay, not really. Don't show it yet. What you really said, if you were to take it word for word, you'd be wishing one another a good final sealing. But the translation, the understanding of the blessing which would take place on Yom Kippur, is what you would do when you meet a Jewish person in October on Yom Kippur. If you go up and say that, they may look at you odd, but they'll know. Because what you're saying is, may you be inscribed in the book of life for good. I mean, this is like the best blessing. Because remember, Yom Kippur was the end of the 10 days of awe, when all the sins would be forgiven. And the Jewish people believed they would then be, for what, another year, written in the book of life. You had a choice, either book of life, book of death. If you did everything you were supposed to do during the 10 days of awe, you're in the book of life, which is like great. Richard, don't pinch the baby. So what you have here is this Yom Kippur. Now, if you have your Bibles, open them to Leviticus chapter 16. But what I'm not going to go through it verse by verse, because Matt said it was a little tedious at 8 o'clock. So I am just going to read. I'm going to tell you the story of how Yom Kippur started, what God expected. But if you want to find it, because you just love the book of Leviticus, because it's just captivating, which it is. Thank you. Chapter 16 is where this is. Okay, now, here's what would happen. The high priest. Now, you have to remember who the high priest is, right? In Leviticus day, the high priest was Aaron, the brother of Moses, the one who screwed up, the one who took, when Moses was up on the mountain getting Ten Commandments, the one that made the golden calf, that one. Right? So Aaron has this incredible responsibility, because one day a year, one man, Aaron in this case, could enter into the Holy of Holies. Let me tell you about the Holy of Holies. This carpet is the Holy of Holies, sort of. Okay? In the Jewish temple, in the synagogues, in the tabernacle, there was this big black curtain that separated the Holy of Holies from everything else. And one time of year, one person could enter into it, and only the high priest. Because the Jews believed that this section of the tabernacle, of the temple, was so holy that if someone else entered into it, they would die. This is where God lived. The Ark of the Covenant was in here. The Ark of the Covenant, they believe, is where God made his home. So this area right here, it was sacred. One time a year, one person could enter it. And before they entered it, they had to do all these things. First off, they changed clothes. Aaron normally would be just like this, right? But on the Day of Atonement, when he was preparing to enter into the Holy of Holies, he would strip down in his underwear. By the way, when you read it in Leviticus 16, this is what you miss by not reading Leviticus. Only time in the Bible underwear is mentioned in Leviticus, right? He would strip down to these white linen, clean, pure clothes. He would sacrifice a bull. He sacrificed a ram. He would bathe, and he put the linen on, the underwear on. And the Jews believed that it was so nerve-wracking. I mean, being the high priest would be scary, right? Because if you left something off, if you missed a step of this ritual, they believed you would die. So what the Jews did was they would, some of you are going to challenge me, you're going to think I'm lying. True? Google it. Get your phones. I don't care. They would tie a rope around the high priest's ankle. So if he died, they could drag him out, right? Because they wouldn't, they can't go in, because if they went in after him, like if Jill, you know, PA said, well, maybe he died of, and I'll go in and I'll give him CPR, she's dead. And I'm not going in. So we just take a rope and just drag the high priest out if he doesn't come back. Now, unfortunately, Richard, I did look. There, I can't find any record of incidents when he died. And I wanted to find one. You know, just, but I can't find one. So he entered the Holy of Holies. And before he entered the Holy of Holies, he did all this stuff. And the community brought two goats to him. And they would draw lots. And in your Bible, the word that they use is scapegoat, right? But they would draw lots. One goat would be sacrificed immediately to God. The other would be set aside and would be used later in the service, in the ritual. In the meantime, after that, Aaron would go in Holy of Holies. He would stand before God. He would present his case before God. He would confess the sins of the community before God, and he'd come out. And when he came out, they would bring this one goat to him. And Aaron would put his hands on the head of the goat. And in the Jewish world, that's so symbolic, because that symbolized all the sins of the community being put on the head of this goat. And then tradition tells us that they would take a red cord and they'd wrap it around the goat, red symbolizing blood and judgment and punishment. And then a Gentile, never a Jew, would lead that goat through the community, out the walls of the city, and into the wilderness and let it go. And the people would understand that their sins for another year were forgiven and they were now written in the book of life, right? Is that not cool? But you have to remember what the sins were. During the 10 days of awe that took place right before Yom Kippur, the sins were all about reconciliation with each other. So if you offended a brother or sister and they offended you, you reconciled. And you were serious about it, because if you didn't reconcile, you may not end up in the book of life, and you don't want to be in that other book, right? So you would do all of that. All this beautiful community stuff would be happening. But on Yom Kippur, it would not be about the sins of others. I wouldn't worry about reconciling with Richard. It was about the sins you committed, the community committed against God, and specifically against the covenant God made with the Jewish people. You see, in with Abraham, God made this incredible covenant, and God promised, I will make you a great nation. You will be my chosen people so that you will be a blessing to others. And on Yom Kippur, the people were to remember when they were not a blessing to one another. They were not chosen for special privilege. They were chosen with a huge responsibility to determine and to be, so that when people saw this community of people, they would see God, and they would see God's reflection in the way these people follow the law, which we've studied in Leviticus, follow the law and live their lives so that people knew who God was. And this was huge. And so the question would be, when have we not been a blessing to others? And those sins would be on the goat, taken away. Now, here's the beautiful part about being Jewish. And I wish Christians could understand it the way the Jewish people get it. There is no individual thinking in the Jewish world when it comes to God and theology and religion. It is all about the community. Begins, ends in community. We ask the question, what am I guilty of, right? And you confess. They ask the question, what are we guilty of? What are we guilty of? And that is what they confess. It's about the community. I think about this a lot, because I wonder what would happen if the church decided to take that serious. I wonder what would happen if First United Methodist Church said, what have we failed to do as a community, or what have we done as a community so that the people around us did not see the reflection of the love and the grace of God? How have we treated the people in our community, in this church, in our families, that kept them from seeing Jesus in me? I mean, can you imagine what God could do if we just apologized, confessed to the people we have not reflected Jesus to? I mean, can you imagine the movement that could take place? It'd be insanity. So Don Miller, in his book, Blue Like Jazz, which is one of my favorite books, if you haven't read it, it's an easy read. Don't see the movie. Movie stinks. Read the book. He tells of the time he goes to college. He goes to this university in Portland. And according to Miller, it is like, you know, 98% of the people there are far from God. They don't know who God is, right? They don't want to know who God is. They don't know who God is. But there's this handful of Jesus followers that he hung with. And they decided to do something for the college, for the community. And so once a year, they have this big week-long party at this university in Portland where there's sex and drugs and alcohol. And it's just insane, he says. You'd have to read about it. It probably makes spring break at Daytona Beach look mild. Not that I've ever been to spring break at Daytona Beach, so I wouldn't know. But anyhow, and what they did, if you read the book, they built a confession booth, and they put it in the middle of campus, in the middle of this week. And if someone walked in expecting to make a confession, they were surprised. Because what happened is Don Miller or whoever was sitting in the booth would confess when they have failed to be Jesus to the community. I mean, according to Miller, they started confessing the Crusades, you know? I mean, because that's sort of bad stuff. And all the way up of when they didn't reflect the love and grace of the community. And I've often imagined, what would that be like, right? I mean, think about it. We build a confession booth, okay, out of wood. We put on it confessional, whatever you want. and we put it in town center, right? In front of Baker Street Pub, because the general manager goes to our church, so he let us, right? So we just put it there, and you sit in there. And when someone comes in and they say, I want to confess my sins, oh, no, 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 it's not about you confessing. It's about me telling you where we failed you, where we didn't reflect the love of Jesus to you. I want to do it, and I can never find any church person who wants to do it with me. And I'm not quite brave enough to do it alone, but it'd be a scream, you know? But it would change the world. That's what Yom Kippur was about. Now I want to go back, because there's something real cool here. This is where it starts looking at us. Verse 10, you got it up there? That one verse I showed you, John. Oh, okay. In your Bible, if you had your Bible, if you open Leviticus 16, you don't have the word Azazel either. You have the word scapegoat. One goat is called a scapegoat, but in the Hebrew language, it's Azazel. And when they translate it to scapegoat, they really mess things up. Because Azazel has two meanings. One, it means scapegoat, but it also means taking away. Now, you got to get this picture for a second, right? So this scapegoat, the Azazel, had all the sins put on it, and then a Gentile will take the Azazel, which is the goat, Azazel, away. You with me? Azazel appears twice. It means taking away. The scapegoat, the goat that will take away the sins of the community. Okay, stay with me. Fast forward to John, Jesus, standing before Pilate, right? He's beaten already, crown of thorns on his head, blood coming down, and Pilate stands Jesus before the crowd and says something like this, "What would I do? What would you have me do with your king?" And the people yell, "Take him away! Azazel!" And with the red cord, the blood on the head of Jesus, the people say, "He is the scapegoat." And they lead him outside the walls of the community. But John doesn't stop there. In Yom Kippur, who would lead the scapegoat out? A Gentile. John makes sure we understand that Gentiles, the Roman soldiers, led him out through the gates as people lined the streets yelling, "Take him away. Take him away." Now, I don't know if any Jew sitting in the audience that day, I don't know if they understood it. But I guarantee when they read John's gospel, they knew exactly what had happened. They just lived the Day of Atonement when the scapegoat would take away the sins of the community. And I wonder what would happen if we would remind ourselves every once in a while, when we're feeling beat up or beat down, when we're focusing on our mistakes and on our flaws and on the things we have messed up in our lives, when we have failed to represent Jesus and we know we did, I wonder what would happen if we would just remind ourselves for a moment, right? The goat has left the building. And I wonder what would happen is next time you run into somebody in the community and they're talking to you about the way they messed up in, or the way the church is a bad institution because it has beaten them down, they filled them with guilt, whatever. If you just stop the conversation and said, hey, I don't see any goat in here, because then you'd have to explain it. Because that's what this is about. I could end the service with the benediction. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you, give you peace both now and forever. In the name of Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And now I say, and remember that there's nothing you can do, blah, blah, blah. I don't have to do that anymore. I just look at you and say, hey, the goat's left the building. It's the same thing. Only if you weren't at church the day I taught this, then you would think I was crazy. And what I wanted to do, and I would have done it in here, but I chickened out in the chapel in the sanctuary, is I wanted to have a goat, right? And I was going to get a Gentile. Do we have any Gentiles in here? Wait, all of us. And I was going to get a Gentile, and I was just going to have them lead the goat through the crowd, because in the Jewish world, they would watch this visual of their sins being carried away. And I thought, how cool would that be to see our sins, everything we confess, just taken away, right? That would be like the coolest. And then, and now I'm going to say a dirty word, in the synagogues and in the temples and the tabernacle, when that happened, when they saw that, when they experienced it, when they knew in the synagogue it doesn't happen because they're just as strict about coffee as we are, and all that in the sanctuary because it's holy. And did I really just say that? I did. And so, because I think you should have coffee in the sanctuary. I think it's fine. Anyhow, as they saw that, as they knew that happened, you know what they did? They actually, now I know you don't do this in the Methodist church because it's like against the law, I guess. They actually smiled. They actually celebrated. They actually whooped and hollered. And you would think you were at an Aggie game because there's all this craziness going on. Sorry, Longhorn fans. Longhorn fans are normal, just using Aggies because they do this abnormal stuff. Yeah, that thing. Yeah, but we don't do that in church. And in the Jewish faith, when Yom Kippur was over, that is exactly what they did. Because why? Oh my God, it's a celebration. And what is our only response when we realize that we are free, that our sins are forgiven? What do? We look miserable. In a moment, you're going to come to communion, right? And you're going to receive this gift. And you guys, if you ever serve communion, like, it's the most miserable looking lot I've ever seen. It's like a funeral, right? We play funeral music, right? We did all this, the lights get dim. And no, it's a celebration. We're not remembering the death of Jesus. We're remembering the resurrection of Jesus. We're remembering that Jesus is here in our midst. And if that doesn't cause you to whoop or holler or at least a little woo-hoo, then nothing will, because this is a celebration. So I asked the 8 o'clock people, I don't know if Eddie did over there, you know, just smile when you be happy, you know, maybe do a little dance. I don't care. It didn't happen. I'm counting on you guys to make my day, right? It's a celebration as we come and we remember. But we celebrate the resurrection because Jesus said, this is my body, this is my blood given for you. And then he rose. And as United Methodists, we celebrate not the transformation of bread and wine into body and blood. We celebrate the presence of Jesus dwelling with us, and that the goat has left the building and our sins are taken away. And that's the gospel. Would you receive this benediction? And now may the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. And may the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace, both now and forever. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, go from this place. And may the peace and the love and the grace of God go with you. And may you know, may you remember that the goat has left the building. Take care. God bless. And we'll see you Thursday night.